And we would like to pray for your Holy Spirit's gentleness to just flood us right now, that our hearts would just be soft and pliable in your huge hand right now, and that we could hear you and see you as we begin wrapping up here the next couple of weeks here, this book of Revelation, and as we look at this beautiful new place that we're going to live called New Jerusalem, this heaven that we've heard about since we're little boys and girls, we'd like to ask you to just reveal yourself to each of us as individuals. Father, we invite you to just take control completely of us. For those that are here that don't know you, we pray that just your presence would be enough for them to begin to realize that you're alive and you're real. We pray that you'll speak through the scriptures. And I'd like to pray for everybody here, because I know they don't all read the scriptures every day. And I'd pray you just pour a love for the Bible in their hearts, that they would just live by your word and they would hear you fresh in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to be looking, finishing up chapter 21 of Revelation. I'd like to read to you some that we read last Wednesday night at CMV, but we'll move on from there. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key, chapter 21, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there's no more sea. And if you didn't hear the last message, you can get that on DVD or CD and follow along our message about heaven and the scriptures in the Bible that talk about it. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, adorned as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, Come here, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall, great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east, three gates, on the north, three gates, on the south, three gates, and on the west, three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. Notice the number 12 comes up a lot. 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Usually a wall has one foundation. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. So he could measure three things: the entire city, the gates of these cities, and the wall that lays that is around the city. And the city lies four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are all equal. So being four square, it goes the same length, the same width, and the same height. Don't forget the height, because that means those walls are pretty good size, huh? And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man that is of the angel. Remember the 144,000 that are in the book of Revelation that we looked at, that would be a remnant that would be from the tribes of Israel, 12,000 from each tribe. The building of the wall of it was jasper. Imagine having the money to build a wall 1,200 miles long, 1,200 miles wide, 1,200 miles long, 1,200 miles wide, and then go up 144 cubits. I think cubits about a foot and a half, so multiply times 1.6, 1.5, and then lay one foundation of jasper. Just be able to afford the jasper. Amazing, but God doesn't stop there. He goes on. And the city was pure gold, like clear glass. Now that's pure gold. You could see right through it, but you know it's gold. The purity is 1,000%. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. So now sprinkled around these foundations. The first foundation was jasper. The second was sapphire. The third, a chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, a topaz. And tenth, a chrysoprase. And the 11th, a jacinth. And the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Could you imagine a gate 144 cubits, so, you know, hundreds of feet high, but one pearl makes the gate? Now, some of you ladies have a pearl earring or pearl pendant or pearl necklace or bracelet. But imagine one gate that big. But imagine the oyster. That'll get you imagining some things, huh? Holy moly. This guy's huge. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street, this is where you'll be walking, the street of the city was pure gold, not potholes. Pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Everything's perfect where you're going to be. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So we'll, in the coming months, be going back and forth through the prophets, the Old Testament, but in Isaiah, you get some glimpses of what's going on here. And it is very likely that people during this 1,000 millennium period that Jesus will be living here and you will be living here in your new body. You'll come back after the rapture of the church and live here on earth. But there will be humans in the human form and they will be living under forced righteousness. There will be no smut. There will be no sin. There will be no pornography. There will be no stealing. It'll be righteousness because the king will be reigning. A child will live to be 100 years old during this time. So God is going to make the earth for that 1,000-year period, what it should have been during the time of Adam and Eve before sin came. But it is interesting, Satan will be locked up for 1,000 years. Actually, the Bible says chained, and he'll be down in the pit. And he'll be loosed at the end of the 1,000 years so that he can tempt people. And do you realize that people will actually go with Satan? So God will give all these nations of the United Nations or whatever it will be in those days, he will give everybody a chance to have free will to choose to accept or reject the righteousness of God. And unfortunately, millions are going to accept it and, reject it, while many will accept it. Now, some of your family members could make it through that 7-year tribulation period and they could go on in to this millennial period. Now, how that all works, I cannot tell you. But you could go look it up in the Bible somewhere. If not, you get to imagine. And that's a cool thing about God. He lets you imagine. He lets you daydream. He lets you think. And you just get creative in your mind, and you realize life is so much bigger than you've been living. It makes it kind of fun when you can imagine, have vision. The city had no need of the sun, so there's no electric department, so the electric rates aren't going to go up. You don't need to worry about having a Prius anymore. You can have all the gas you want. There won't be any gas. There'll be nothing. It'll just be pure power. We'll be running everything. So no sun or moon, so it's not going to get dark. There's no street lamps. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. So the light of this new Jerusalem, this new city, will shine down on planet Earth like the moon does. However, it'll be so bright that it'll light up the whole globe, all 360 degrees of it at any given time, which is very cool when you think that God, the Father, and Jesus, the Son, are going to be in this city, and flowing out of their throne is going to be crystal clear water, and along the avenues leading from his throne into the rest of the city and the different tiers and levels will be these gold transparent streets. I mean, that's going to be beautiful. And can you imagine with all the emeralds and jewels that are on the walls, the gold on the street, and then God's light splashing down on that and ricocheting off the walls and outside the gates and off the pearls, how it would just make earth a beautiful place to be hanging out. I mean, just imagine, you're going to be walking around in his light. But while we're here in the earth, the Bible says we are in the light as he is in the light. We should walk in the light as he is in the light. And we should have love and fellowship one with another. So there is this light that causes our eyes spiritually and our hearts to see into another dimension, and it fires you up, and it causes you to go do things and to be involved in things that most people don't see. You know, you need to realize we're at the end of the age, and this is a wonderful time for you to just, you know, cut the suspenders and let it shoot you out into whatever God wants you to do before you die, and just serve him. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. The glory and the honor is put into the corporations and into rich people's pockets of the earth. It's not put into the throne room of God. So whatever you do with your life, you want to give it to the glory of God. You know, my mother passed away, so I thought of this verse that I've always loved. It's Psalm 27, verse 4. And one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and behold the beauty of his temple. And so I went over to the cemetery, and they said, you could pick it out what you want. I said, this is what I want written on there. So the lady says, okay, I'll fill it all out. And she gets the papers. Then I sign it. And I said, you can put this on the credit card? Yes, no problem. And then I looked. It was almost $2,500 for a little flat plaque. And I thought, why, these Mickey Mouse people, you know, stabbing you. Just, I mean, what are you going to do? And I got ready to just let the lady know that I was a Scotsman. And I don't pay retail for anything. And just then, a lady walks in and says, Pastor Mike, I go to Horizon. How are you doing? I'm doing great. I'm just doing wonderful, you know. And so I didn't get to talk to the sales lady about the size of her commission or anything. And it is going to be so good, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I don't have to have our guard up and wonder who's conning us, who's taking advantage of us. You single women don't need to worry anymore if these guys are ripoffs, or you single guys don't need to worry if these girls are ripoffs. You know, guys, girls can rip you off. There shall in no wise enter into this new city anything that defiles. Nothing that defiles. There will be no parental control on the TV. There'll be nothing. You won't need TV. You don't need anything to entertain you. I mean, you're maxed out. You're 100% you. And when you're 100% you, you don't need entertainment. You become your own entertainment in the Lord. You just have so much fun being alive. And neither whoever who or whatsoever works an abomination or makes a lie. You think of all the lies there are in just selling toothpaste. I mean, TV commercials are, you know, they're lies. They're just lies. They don't do what they say they can do. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's the only people to get in there. So it's like your own home, your own family. You know, that the only people there are people that have been through it and have the new body, and they're going to make it. So for eternity, and so you're just going to be with them, and God's going to give you an assignment. I don't know what it's going to be. It may go 3 zillion miles out and start a colony of worshipers or praisers out there in that part of the universe or whatever. And we have no idea, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be great fun. I'd like to meet all of you when we get there. I'll be the guy in the next to the last row on the far hand side of the throne room, way back there. I'll be way back in the right hand corner. So come look me up, would you? But here's what we saw just now. We saw the beauty of New Jerusalem. The beauty of New Jerusalem. We saw a beauty that these words don't even describe. Has it hit you yet that this thing would be zillions, if not zillions times zillions of dollars to build a wall that big that would go from San Diego all the way across the country to the middle of Texas or Arkansas, all the way up to the Canadian border, all the way along the border of Canada and the United States, and then all the way down from Seattle, Washington, all the way back to San Diego, about 1,200 miles in every direction, and then the city goes up. Oh my goodness, this thing is going to have layer upon layer. You could have billions of people in this thing. And everybody, if you took billions of people And if there's any engineers here, or any people that work on the cabooses either, we'll take it from either one of you. If there's engineers here, or slide rule people, or you know how to work a calculator, figure that out. 1,200 miles by 1,200 miles by 1,200 miles, and then go up. The height is the same as the rest. And then multiply that and see what you would have for area, complete area, and then see how many billions of people you could get in that situation, and then how much acreage you're going to have. Somebody once told me, they figured it out, you got about 1 cubic mile for everybody. Otherwise, you'd have a mile up, a mile down, a mile left, a mile right, a mile front, a mile back. All of your own. That'd be pretty spacey, to say the least. Have all that. Note that there's no expense that is spared in building this place for you, to making it happen. No expense at all. Do you know, when I first moved to San Diego and we started the work here, you could buy a nice house for about $35,000, like a 4-bedroom house or something like that. You could go get a beach house for $150,000 down in La Jolla, or be right on the water and have your front yard eroding into the ocean or whatever, you know. But you could, gasoline you could get for 85 cents, whatever it was, you know. And prices have gone up, they've gone down, they've gone up, they've gone down. Inflation, deflation, recession, and the prices of real estate has gone up. Do you know that the price to live in heaven is exactly the same as it was 2,000 years ago? You know that? God has not changed the price of what it costs to get inside those pearly gates. It's still the same price, and that price was settled on the throne by God the Father, and settled on the cross by God the Son, and put into action by God the Holy Spirit. And that price is the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can get in there. And Jesus said, "My Father has many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you." The price has not changed. It's the only way you'll get in. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. God's word has never changed. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just as the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So notice that the walls, it talks about walls, it talks about foundations, it talks about gates, it talks about streets. And it all shows us that there was some thought put into this. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something you learned as a little kid that you're going to go to heaven. There's going to be streets of gold. God thought this out. And this is after all of the human race went through all the greatest things that man could make for himself. There is nothing ever created on earth that can compare to the place that you will spend eternity. God has thought this out. I think of, you know, we have spent over $1 million in the last year just waiting on the city to approve us to get a conditional use permit. I mean, that's just ludicrous. There are no planning people in heaven. God is the master planner and architect. And he has all the resources and does it. You just go and enjoy it. You don't have to pull up with all that baloney. Now, it is something to think of here that he says in verse 14 to 15, the size of the dimension, it's a little overwhelming. The wall of the city, 12 foundations. Well, that's really being careful. In them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lambs. Now, why would he do that? When you think of this wall going from the west coast to the mid-continent up to the Canadian border and back to the west coast and back down to San Diego, that's a lot of space. And in these walls, on the foundations, with all these jewels, are the names of the 12 apostles. That would tell me something. That would tell me it's very important for me to read the New Testament and find out what these people had to say. Because if we will look at dirty-mouthed people and flaunting sexual idols and put a star on a street in Hollywood, and we go and people all over the world come and idolize the star in really one of the filthiest places physically in all of Los Angeles is Sunset and Vine and that whole Hollywood. It's just a sad picture. I mean, you might as well go to some dump and start putting the stars on the sidewalk leading up to it, which shows you the heart of what created the star system is polluted. But think of this. God doesn't give a star to Billy Graham and you go, oh, Billy Graham, D.L. Moody, Charles Stanley, great preachers and teachers. No, Jesus is the focus of everything. But he does put the names of the apostles. So while you're breathing, why don't you take that little clue and say, well, what did Peter, James, and John have to say? And start reading it, because whatever they said and however they lived is etched in stone for eternity. And none of our names will be etched in stone for eternity. However, our names are etched in God's heart for eternity. And that's very cool. But I think that's heaven telling us, read the apostles and live by what they said, because their lives belong here as a remembrance of the New Testament, because the Old Testament will be paralleled and brought in as a metaphor also. So here we've got this huge piece of art that God designed, and then you'll be living there. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians. I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Not 2 Corinthians, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's read something together. And I, brethren, when I came to you, now this is one of the apostles speaking, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So some of you say, well, I can never be used of God. I'm uneducated. I don't speak well. You know, Moses had a speech impediment. Some think it's that he stuttered. Now imagine having a man with a speech impediment go to Pharaoh and be the one to talk to Pharaoh and to articulate God's word to a couple of million people without a PA system. God uses our weakness to be strong. Instead of you picking on yourself, putting yourself down and say, my hips are too big, my waist is too large, my shoulders are pinched in, my nose is too long, my ears are too short, and picking on your body all the time and what you think you should be, God knows what you are. The Bible says that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And if you can just settle that you are who you are in the Lord, then God can do some wonderful things through you. And he wants to do some wonderful things. He comes along and says, I didn't come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the things of God, the testimony of God. Every one of you in this room were designed to be used for God's glory. Every last one of you. And the only reason you cannot honestly say before the throne of God that you're not being used to his glory and you're not feeling completely fulfilled in your heart and your soul is simply because your flesh is controlling you, and the devil loves to manipulate you and your flesh just like a marionette. He likes to pull the strings on you and get you doing everything you can to be distracted from the beauty of God. So there is no excuse. Well, I'm too this or I'm too that. No, you're not. You're God's creation. And he thinks you're beautiful. And who cares what anybody else thinks? And if you're just thinking on your own point of view, you're a narcissistic person, very self-centered. And the whole thing of being a Christian person is to die to self. And if you'll die to yourself like this apostle, whose name is written there on the wall, you're going to see that your life can change other lives. And that's so much fun to see. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And you know, it's the influence of the people around you, the movies you view, and the things you put into your head that mess you up. I don't know if you know that or not. Or confuse you, or pull you down, or deflate you, or fog you up, or get you a little bit over the line when it comes to spiritual things. Paul comes along and says, I'm determined. See, as a mindset, I don't want to know anything in my relationships with you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. So how can a single man and woman that go to church and say that they're Christians have sex and they're not married together? How can they do that if they are determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified? How can a business person take advantage of somebody that comes into their shop or their building or their office or their law firm or their whatever they have, their widget factory? How can they take advantage of somebody else if to determine in your mind you want to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified? How could you live like a worldly person? So it's a mindset that comes along with the person that says, listen, I know who I am. I don't have excellency of speech. I don't have worldly wisdom. I just want to know Jesus Christ and him crucified in all my conversations with any person. And if you don't know Jesus Christ and him crucified, then I want to explain him to you. So And I was with you in weakness, so he's a weak man physically, and in fear and in much trembling. There are some articles and documents you can get from the bookstore and you can get places that he was bull-legged, he was paunchy, he was ball-headed, and he also had an eye disease, glaucoma. Glaucoma, probably. His eyes were dripping all the time. Very common problem in those days. He wasn't some handsome Dan. He wasn't Arnold Schwarzenegger running for office. He was just a common everyday guy that the Holy Spirit went, wham! What was that? Whoa! And he just went on, and with that power, he was just sharing Jesus. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knows, this mystery. Do you realize that you know things that the princes, the rich people, the powerful people, the educated people don't have a clue about? They don't have a clue. And you have had heaven opened up to you. So he comes along and he says here, none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, would you read this out loud with me? It could change your life. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Do you realize that? No eyeball has ever seen any work of art, any man-made beauty, any sunset, or anything with your human eyes. No ear has ever heard the music or the sound or the voice. No heart or mind has ever understood the things that God has prepared for you that love him. There is nothing that I could put up here on the screen and say, oh, look at the Mona Lisa. Oh, look at this cloud. Oh, look at this sun. Look at these little baby ducks. No, there's nothing that has ever entered into the understanding of mankind's history that could prepare you for what's waiting for you in heaven. Wow. Are you ready for that? Or do you just want to be a religious person? Or a person on the fence? That's a powerful statement. He says it. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither in the heart of man's understanding the things that God has prepared. He thought it out. It's already finished. He's just waiting for you to get there. Jesus cried on the cross, it's finished. So why not run for the finish line and bring as many people with you that you can? But God has revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches out all things. Yes, the deep things of God. You know the Holy Spirit's in the room right now. And he's going like a wave back and forth over the crowd. And he's moving over you. And he's going into some of your hearts and he's coming back out. And he's going over here into some of your hearts and he's coming back out. And some of you sense him and you don't know who he is. And you sense that you've tuned in without your Bose headset and you're getting a different channel than you started out earlier. It's because the Holy Spirit's here. And he's trying to draw you to this place that you will see where you're going to go. You will compare what's here on earth in the physical realm, and you'll give this up, seeing that city, that new Jerusalem that is coming, and your heart will go into God's hand, and he will start moving through you like you could never imagine in your entire life. And he's going to start showing you things, supernatural things. But you're going to have to be a woman of the word and a man of prayer and a man of commitment and a woman of obedience. And you're going to have to be an honest person, a truthful person, a humble person. And you're going to have to be broken by God, that he could open up the mysteries that the princes of this world have never even begun to conceive or to understand. But they are shown to us, they are revealed unto us by the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you a question. Why can't we see or discern or understand the things of God easily in our lives? Why is that? I'm sure you've asked, God, why don't I see this? God, why don't I understand? God, why isn't your way clearer? Why is it I can be lifting my hands up one minute and then somebody walks down the aisle that's really good looking and I lust after them? Why is it I can be singing, holding hands with a person on each side and we get in the car and we start telling dirty stories? Or we start bad-mouthing somebody. Or we start talking against somebody at work or our roommates. Or something. How is it that one minute we can be a spiritually inspired human being, but the next minute it gets so foggy and we don't understand? How is it? I'll give you a couple of answers if you want to know. Do you want to know? Okay, we'll take the time. It'll take about 4 hours, but for a check made out to me directly for $150, I could give you the secret. All right, let's turn to... No way. Come on, John. You know I wouldn't. Gotcha. Okay, Galatians chapter 5. Turn to Galatians in the New Testament. You actually said no way. See, you're always getting me. I just got you. Galatians chapter 5. Now follow this along. You're going to have to go back over this on your own. But here's one of the reasons why you have trouble staying a godly young woman or a godly man or being a spiritually inspired person. To know good and not to do what the Bible says is sin. And we know what's right and we know what's wrong, but why is it we don't do what's right? Well, Paul in the book of Romans says, the good that I should do, I find that I'm not doing. And the things that I shouldn't be doing, I find I catch myself doing it all the time. You ever feel like that? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? I know better than that. Well, he said there's a law working inside of us. Look at Galatians 5. This book is really dealing with the flesh and the spirit. Historically, it begins to tell you about the Old Testament saints, brings you to the New Testament period, but it shows you there's always been a struggle in mankind. Once you can settle this struggle, ladies and gentlemen, fruit's going to just pour out of your life. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For just being a Jew, a male, and being circumcised, that's not going to get you to heaven, though they thought that. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. There's the key. It's faith that works by love. And why is it that churches don't help each other work together? Why is it that Christians don't love each other and get in their little boxes? You know, Joe Scarborough the other night on MSNBC was very upset with the Red Cross and the FEMA and all the large organizations. There's so much bureaucracy, and I'll be honest with you, I've seen this bureaucracy and this infighting and turf war. Hey, this is ours. You don't come over here. Hey, you guys are working that side of the street. We're working this side of the street. I've seen it. I hated it. Stupid. And then you know what he said? You want to know the people that are getting it done in America for these hurting people? It's the churches. It's the churches and the individuals with their hearts going in love in their fellow Americans, and they're smart enough to go around the bureaucracy and go right to the problem, and they're the ones that are bringing the help to the people. I was happy to hear this man say that. So he says, it's your love. It's faith which works by love. It's faith which works by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now, is there a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a business partner who's hindering you in your life tonight that you're not running well? Is it the dealer? Is it the guy that's offering you more money? If you'll just step away from that and come into this new realm, oh, you'll get a title. And what is it? He asks that question. Who is it that hinders you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. God hasn't brought this person into your life. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you be none other minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you have been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Don't use your liberty as a Christian to say, well, I'm single, but we don't go all the way. I'm sorry. You're going the wrong way anyway you're going if you're not keeping your hands to yourself. And it's the same with the till. If you're dipping into the till and putting the bucks and the pesos into your pocket, if you're manipulating and using people, you're going to get it. It's going to come back to you. And he says, I have confidence in you. I would that the people that have been troubling you and leading you astray would be cut off from you. But brethren, you've got liberty from God. But don't use that liberty for an occasion to your flesh. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. All the law, all Ten Commandments, all Leviticus, Exodus, Deuteronomy. It's all filled in one thing. One word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's the law. You mean it's not observing Lent, it's not genuflexing, it's not doing the cross, it's not sprinkling water, it's not writing 10% of my paycheck every week. It's nothing. The rules and regulations are boiled down to love your neighbor as yourself. You know what? If you're loving me, you're not going to take advantage of me or hurt me. You'll see my blind sides, my weak sides, and you'll love me anyhow, and you'll help make me strong. I will see you. I'll not condemn you. I'll not be critical. I'm not going to put you down. I'm not going to take advantage of you or abuse you or try to use you. I'm going to try to make you a stronger woman or a stronger man so that I can know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified in your life. You see, that's pretty simple. If we're loving each other, why in the world do we have to observe circumcision or no circumcision or the rules and regulations of a denomination? We don't. It's just love. That's all Jesus did, is He loved. He loved, He loved, and He loved. Now look at this. It's all fulfilled, but in verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you do not consume one another. So this I say, and here's the answer to your question. Why don't I get it all the time? This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, the Spirit fights against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. This is your problem. You have this flesh, it begins to lust. But your spirit says, Pastor Mike said, or the Bible said, but then your flesh says, oh, go ahead. You've got grace and liberty as a Christian. But then the Bible comes up, and this is maybe why you're not reading the Bible, because it tells you the truth, this isn't the way to do it. This is maybe why you're not praying too, because you can hear when you pray. And then your flesh says, no, no, it's all right. Your spirit says, no, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. No, no, no. You ever feel like that? Just a war going on inside of you? Is it just me? Am I the only sinner in the crowd? I mean, I feel that all the time. I know what I'm supposed to do, but sometimes I get so upset. I get angry and I get, oh, golly. And God doesn't want that. So look, walk in the Spirit. You don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you're in the flesh, you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there's the key. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now it identifies it. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These two, your spirit and your flesh, are contrary one to another. So you cannot do the things you want to do. And you should do. There's no way. Because you're always warring. And then, oh God, I'm so sorry I did that again. Oh God, what was God into me? Oh, Lord, why did I let that? Oh, Lord, I'm so weak. No, you should grow up and get beyond that. So the influences around you have a strong pull on you. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now this tells you you're a tree. Just put your arm out right now like this. You're a tree. All of your trees. Come on, Sunday school class. You're a tree. You got two arms. You're a branch. Okay, now poke the guy next to you. Okay, you're a tree. Now, what's going to come out on your tree tomorrow at lunchtime, okay? You're bearing fruit. Now, here's the fruit of the flesh. It says right here. Now, the works, would you circle the word works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Would you circle the word these? Works and these tell us it's plural, right? You with me? Works and these say it's plural. Here's the work of your flesh. If this is in your life, you know you're fleshly. They are made manifest. Otherwise, not only do you know about it, other people see it. Adultery, fornication. Fornication comes from the word porneia. And porneia is the root for pornography. It is for sexual sin between single people. Adultery is married people having sex outside of the marriage. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You ever feel like, oh, that was a dirty thought? That's what he's talking about. Idolatry, you worship, you idolize, you have posters on your wall. You know, they're small shrines, you don't realize it. Witchcraft. You know the word for witchcraft is the same as drug use? Did you know that? Sorcery, same thing. Witchcraft. You're smoking a joint? Witchcraft. You're popping some pills? Witchcraft. Sorcery, same thing. Hatred. You hate somebody? fruit of the flesh coming out. They are made manifest. You got hatred, variance, emulations. You try to be like somebody. Try to have those 10-day abs. You know, you get that thing out from under your bed and you pull that thing up and down. I'm going to look just like that guy. No, you're not. That guy spent $500,000 getting those abs, believe me. Emulations, wrath. Do you flip off the handle and just fume at times? Wrath, strife, always striving with people. Just can't be at peace with people. Always contentious, always arguing. Always got to be right. Seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in the past. Would you read that last sentence? They which do such things shall not... That's it. Now, I'm not saying, no, bad, bad, bad. This is just the instruction book, and it says if this is happening in your life, you're a fleshly, carnal man or woman. That's all it's saying. And you may be producing all of them or two of them or one of them. It's your flesh is in charge. But let's just go home with this positive thought about the other side of you, the spiritual woman, the spiritual man. I had you circle the word these and works as plural. So we looked at those. Now, it says in verse 22, but the fruit, would you circle the word fruit, of the Spirit is, circle the word is. See, that tells us it's singular. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, many things pour out. But a spiritual woman and a spiritual man have one fruit. It's love. And let me explain that to you. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The word love for the New Testament did not exist in the Greek language until they wrote the New Testament. They had two words. The word eros, which is sexual, lustful, physically appealing, stimulating sexually, eros. The other was phileo. Phileo means brotherly love. You have a kinship, your family, your brother, your sister. You're in the same dorm together. You belong to the same sorority or fraternity. Brotherly love. So when they got to talking about God's love through Jesus Christ, they said, well, this is much deeper than brotherly love. This is much deeper than sexual love. And they came up with the word agape, English translation, agape. And agape means divine sacrificial love. It could only come from heaven, and it's motivated through sacrifice. God so agape'd the world that he gave his Son. Now you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. You may speak in tongues or prophesy, but above all, you better be a woman and a man of love. Now what is this love? So when they came to it and said, okay, the fruit of the Spirit is love, but how do we translate this word love? Well, in the English, we need to know what this love is made up with. It's made up with joy. Would you read all these? Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. This love is so deep and so rich. It's joyful, it's peaceful, it's long-suffering with people that bug you. It's gentle or kind. It's full of goodness. It stimulates your faith. It's full of meekness and temperate. You're temperate in all things. You're not out getting soused. You're not out gorging yourself at In-N-Out. You're temperate. Everything's self-control. You're in balance. The love controls you. And look at that last statement. And against such, there's no law. There is no law of do's and don'ts if the love of Christ is working in your heart. So you can either be the tree out here with all this cruddy fruit on you that's hurting and destroying your life and other people, or you can be this tree that is standing there as a bright example that just the love of God is shining through you, and this love is going to make you so sensitive to other people that you're standing there representing Jesus Christ as his ambassador, and you now have the power of God flowing through you. And those are the people, they're going to be in this beautiful city that God planned out. So we'll leave you with this thought of you get to bear the fruit, you get to choose the fruit you're going to bear. The last two verses tell us in Revelation, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God and the Lamb are the temple. So there's no more temple, no place to go to worship him. The Lord and the Lamb are the temple. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So that's pretty clear. But when you think of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if there's no temple there, what about in San Diego? What about San Diego? Well, listen carefully to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So let no man deceive you. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him not become a fool, that he may be wise. So the question is raised very in fact, don't you know you are the temple? Now this temple either has the works of the flesh hanging out the doors and windows, or you've got the fruit of love coming out your heart. Know you not that you're the temple? So don't give your body over to somebody to abuse the temple of God. Don't give your mind over to something that's going to control you. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, he said this: flee sexual immorality, sexual sin. Every sin that man does outside from his body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own anymore? For you were bought at a price. So therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, you were bought with a price. And the price has never changed. Just like the real estate you're going to be living in, same price, the blood of Jesus Christ. You were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your body is not yours to pass around the neighborhood. You must take care of this temple, because the light of God is going to shine through your temple. And pureness and holiness can only come by the person of the Holy Spirit. And he's here right now. And he so wants to fill you overflowing as we close now with worship and singing. We want to lift up, as the Bible says, holy hands without doubting is what the New Testament says. Why am I lifting my hands up to get attention? No, I'm not doubting. This means I'm surrendered, God. Lift up holy hands without doubting. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. You've triumphed over your flesh. If Jesus Christ and him crucified is the focus of your life, focus of your conversation, focus of the influence of the friends and the parties and the things you do and get yourself involved in, then the works of the flesh are not going to be manifest. God's going to take the axe that is covered with the blood of his son, and he's not just going to chop the bottom of that tree down and leave a stump. He's going to get the roots out, and he's going to let your heart be free, because you have been given the spirit of liberty, and it's yours. The same price for that liberty, the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not walking around acting like you're a Christian. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's simply, will you love me, a sinful man that so desperately wants to be pleasing to God? Will I love you, sinful men and women, and accept you? And I know that you want to know God. And when we come to that place that we say, yes, we will unconditionally love one another, then the Holy Spirit will do things that the book of Acts never saw. Through you. Through you. Eyes have never seen, ears have never heard, never has entered into the heart or the understanding of man the things that God has prepared, already gone ahead of us and done it, it's finished, for those that love him. Do you love God? Okay, he's got some things waiting for you. You're the one holding up the party. So we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, but let's get out of our own parties and let's his party begin and be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let's stand and worship him now before we go home. Holy Spirit upon us. God, may you pour out your gifts upon us. God, may you chop out the roots of our sinful nature that keep bringing us to these places of the fruits of the flesh. And Lord, may the love of Jesus Christ just consume us. May you just baptize us afresh right now, that we will feel and sense your power flowing through our veins. That you just touch these bodies and take them as your temple. And may we have the power to resist the darkness, the evil, the lust of the flesh, so that these bodies will truly be shining temples for your honor, for your glory, sir. We humble ourselves in your sight. And as we sing right now, we give these praises to you. And you have promised to inhabit the praises of your sweet people. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And come and dwell in the middle of these songs. Come and dwell in the middle of the aisles. Come and dwell in the hearts and the minds and the souls of these people. Honor them, Lord. those that are struggling right now to die to their flesh and say, okay, I surrender. Help them. Help them just see the wonders of your kingdom in the Spirit. Open their eyes up, God, that they may see you right now as we sing in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's worship him from our hearts.